So to start, could you just describe your current position at the Y, what it entails, and what your responsibilities are?
Sure. I'm the training and outreach coordinator. So that means that I organize our training for new advocates 2 to 3 times a year. And I also coordinate all of our outreach. So, and I do a lot of that myself, so I spend a lot of time speaking to different groups, mostly schools, about the issues around domestic and sexual violence. And I also coordinate our first step response team, which are advocates who go on sexual assault advocacy calls.
Okay. And can you describe those calls with the work anyway involved in those? What, crisis step, response? Or
yeah, first
step
is crisis response. It usually entails going to the emergency room with a person who's been sexually assaulted.
Okay. And what's a typical day like if there is one? And if not, what kind of days do you have in the different areas?
Okay.
A typical day of work or just kind of the day-to-day stuff.
Okay. A typical day is hard to describe because working here, crises can come up any time. So you may have just like beautifully outlined day of spending half the day in a school and then the rest of the day catching up on phone calls and stuff. But like I can get a first step call, you know, at noon and be gone for the rest of the day. So. But I guess typically I do a lot of like contacting other agencies and trying to get the word out about our services and stuff like that. Trying to go out as much as I can. And then I spend a lot of time organizing the training when that's going on too.
Okay. And can you describe your initial involvement with feminism or activism? Or just with the Y in general or other agencies, and what was a typical day like then for you?
Okay. So my first experience with activism actually was in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I became pretty active in a inner city, low-income neighborhood. And I lived down there for most of that time. So I spent a lot of time with the homeless shelter, which is called the Drop-In Center, and I eventually did my practicum there. And I also did a lot of protesting and showing up at the city council meetings to talk about the needs of low-income people. I also volunteered for the Welfare Rights Coalition, which was probably my introduction to violence against women and poverty as a major issue for women. And at the same time in school, kind of started getting more into feminist theory. And also kind of looking at this poverty in third world countries and things like that.
And you mentioned you did a practicum. Were you a social work major?
Okay. I've majored in social work and I had a minor in peace studies.
And are there any events that stand out for you since your involvement with the groups you mentioned, or with the Y, or just with feminism personally?
Yeah, I guess a lot of things stand out, but how I got involved in Cincinnati was through the university I went to, Xavier, and they had a service learning project. And this guy named Buddy Gray came and spoke to a group of students, and Buddy was a homeless activist who dropped out of college in the 60s, pretty much sold everything he had, moved down, and started a homeless shelter by breaking into an abandoned building and started to house alcoholic men. And he was a major source of inspiration for me. And then he was killed about a month before I moved down to Over the Rhine. And that was something that has always stuck with me, just as a person of inspiration and the tragedy you see that he was murdered in that neighborhood. So that's one thing that sticks out in my mind.
Would you say that he is an individual, has inspired you to stay like feminism, activism, to this day?
Yeah, definitely. Body Gray. I mean, I think there's also like other people who have inspired me also, but he's probably someone who sticks out of my mind because he was kind of, it was really shocking to me, and kind of being, when I was just starting to get involved.
And are there any troubles that you've encountered since the very beginning, or since your beginning with the law? Or with just feminism, activism, whatever.
Like what kind of troubles?
Troubles with meshing with your personal life, or with your time, or with your personal philosophies, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that working at the YWCA, for instance, kind of for me requires a buy-in to the philosophy, and that buy-in really has to reflect my life, just as I guess I kind of like to be congruent in where I work and the way I live my life. So definitely from the time when I decided to move down to the inner city and started simplifying my life, and as I got more interested in feminism and realizing there's a lot of things in my life that weren't congruent with that. And those are really difficult, I think. And that's the major thing about activism and service in general that I found, is that it makes you question yourself and challenge yourself pretty often. So definitely affected. It's affected my relationship with my family, who might not, not all of them probably feel the same way I do about a lot of issues. And definitely has affected my time.
Would you say, for the most part, though, that your personal philosophies or personal theories are pretty in alignment with the law or with feminist theory? Anyway?
Yep.
Yeah. And kind of along those same lines, how have you changed since you started with feminism or with the law?
I have changed my language a great deal. I think growing up in this culture, your language can become pretty sexist, and so that's one thing that's been really something that I'm conscious of. Conscious of not excluding groups of people, which is pretty easy with our language also. I think I also had to change some of my life expectations too, which is a good thing.
And have any of your outlooks changed, or your views on feminism, activism, or I don't know, your goals or anything like that? Have they changed at all, or have they stayed pretty much the same since you started?
I don't know, let me think about that for a minute. I'll think about it and we can come back to
okay.
That one.
Okay. did you have a primary goal when you began with studying social work at the university, or studying with the homosexual religion? Did you have a primary goal that you wanted to change the world?
Yeah, I think that I was pretty disillusioned with the world, and I guess coming from a middle class background, I felt that I needed to know more about the experience of the majority of people in the world. And I think that's where I kind of started from. I just wanted more knowledge And I was a little upset that that knowledge wasn't, like, kind of something that I had been taught, you know. And so I guess I kind of wanted to break down barriers between myself and other people, and learn from people. And I think that definitely continues to this day, like, working on the crisis line or in the shelter, one of the most extraordinary things that you can do is hear a story and really learn about someone else's experience.
Okay, and what are you most proud of, either personally or collectively, in the sense of feminism or the why, or activism?
Well, I guess one of the things about activism that makes me proud when I feel like I'm being active is taking a stand on something. And I think that's pretty difficult because a lot of times you kind of put yourself in a vulnerable position. So I'm definitely proud of the YWCA for taking stands in this community, and also for continuing work that's incredibly difficult and has not always had the backing of society, and a lot of times it doesn't. So that is something I'm definitely proud of.
For the why, or for just feminism in general?
Feminism in general, I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess when I'm speaking specifically about the YWCA, but feminism, like, it makes me proud to say I'm a feminist, to think of the long line of incredibly strong and brave women who have challenged society. And that's a real honor for me to kind of try and follow their lead.
Okay. And is there anything you would have done differently so far? From college, if that was your start, so.
No. So far, I feel like I've been doing everything I want to do, so.
And what contributions do you feel you've made to this organization, to Stack in Cincinnati, or just, again, feminism or activism?
It's kind of hard to say because I feel like I'm so young, and, you know, I hope to do a lot more. But, at the YWCA, I think that you'll find this too, that, you know, just being here and listening to someone's story, and being supportive and advocating for someone. And every time you do that, I think, you make a contribution. You know, and I hope that, like, when I'm talking to schools, that, my hope is that when I walk out of that room, they have more knowledge and tools than I had when I was their age.
And what do you feel still needs to be done? Whether through you or through the wire?
A lot still needs to be done. As far as we've come in the feminist movement for women's rights, and I guess everybody's rights, I just feel like we have a long way to go to continue to break down barriers, and obviously economic equality is something that we still need to achieve, I think. There's so much blaming of victims, which, especially when the victims are women, with relationship and sexual violence. I just feel like we have a long way to go with that. As far as the feminist movement and as the YWCA, I'm pretty, I think we need more men involved. I don't think just, like, at the YWCA we work a lot with domestic and sexual violence, and I don't think that it's just a women's issue. In the past, I think that it has been a women's issue, that women had to come together and help each other heal from the violence. But as far as men being the majority of perpetrators, I feel like that's a men's issue, and that to end this violence, we need to have men involved and have men buy into feminism and working to end the violence.
Do you see that happening at all with men?
Do
you see it getting better in the emphasis?
I do. I mean, just having you and Josh here makes me really excited about that. And just in the community, talking to different men who also want to be involved at some level. Or last week, I was at a seminar for Ronan High School, and there was a man there, and I think he was from Teachers or Families First. I feel bad, I don't remember where he's from. But anyways, he was there talking about healthy relationships. And I thought that was really powerful, that for those kids to hear that from a man.
Okay, and this is kind of along the same lines, I guess, but how do you personally view the position of women in general for Missoula or Montana as a region, for society?
Yeah. I would say that the way women are portrayed in media still like horrifies me. And I think that to a large extent are still sexualized, and if you listen to music lyrics or watch TV that continues to happen today, economic equality we still have not achieved that. And like I was saying before, just blaming women when they've been like violated in some way. We still have a long ways to go in that.
And what do you think contributes to all that overall? Is some of those other things that contribute
to patriarchy, I guess.
And where do you see the women's movement going, or the position of women? Do you see it getting better in the future? And what needs to happen?
Yeah, I definitely see it getting better. I am hopeful about that. And I guess I'm trying to think how do I see that happening. Well, I think we continue, like, the feminist movement has continued, and it will continue. And with each generation, there's kind of, like, a new wave of energy and focus. And I definitely have hope and confidence that that will continue as I look at my peers. And one of the more positive things is I feel like I hear more often girls and women not satisfied, and I think that can kind of be the source of energy for change. And I also feel like we have this wonderful source of wisdom from women who have been working for equality for a lot of years. That's one of the things I love about Missoula. It's a really great women's community, and that's a great source of energy and wisdom for me.
And what about the YWC as an organization? What can it do, or what can you do individually do, and your peers here? Regarding women's position in Missoula, or just feminism in general?
Mm-hmm. Education, I think. That's obviously really important to me as part of my job, and just something I believe in, that by educating people, people can learn to change or learn that they might want something different. We can also learn how to recognize signs of violence so that as a society we know how to respond better. I think also as the Y continues to take stands in the community about issues, I think that that's also really important as a respected kind of agency in Missoula. I think it's pretty powerful when we take a stand.
And do you have any feelings on this? Is just from some other people I've interviewed where they mentioned that the Y's been here for 90 years and how ingrained they are in the community. If you are very familiar with that, or but do you have any comment on that?
So, just about how, their history here?
Yeah. As far as continuing to take a stand.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
do you feel that they've done that over the past? Or?
I think, well, I'm not really familiar with actually the whole history, but from what I've heard, like, the Y has continued to evolve and change as an agency, as any agency does. It's been around for 90 years. And at times has taken really hard stands. And I think that just the work that we do has required that we take a stand that hasn't always been easy to do. So there's definitely a history of empowerment and, you know, challenging society.
And is there anything you'd like to say to people 50 years from now on feminism in Montana, or on Missoula specifically, or just the Y in general?
At least 50 years from now, I really hope that that the crisis line doesn't even need to be in existence.
Could you just go back? I'll quit that sentence.
Yeah. I guess, the crisis line.
The crisis line, yeah.
The crisis line is a 24-hour line for people who have questions about domestic or sexual violence or sexual harassment or anything like that, people who are being victimized, someone who has been victimized but wants help, or a friend of someone who's in an abusive relationship, something like that. So 50 years from now, I really would be extremely happy if that wasn't even in existence anymore.
And what would the Y?
Hmm?
What would the Y then focus itself on? So let's say domestic violence, sexual violence, child abuse, police, no longer an issue.
Well, what then would, we wouldn't even need to be here. We'd all have to find new jobs. I mean, I guess that's kind of really, really, really idealistic. I think that the YWCA would continue to be a place for women and whatever issues face women 50 years from now.
And any other comments or statements that's been just about feminism or your life of feminism that I haven't asked you yet?
I guess the what really, there's a quote that I read, and I should know who said it because I'm about to quote it, but that feminism is like simply saying that all people are equal. And I think that's probably the definition that that kind of stays in my heart and why I feel like all the work I have done has been, you know, as a part of feminism. Regardless of whether it's focused on poverty or violence against women or welfare reform, I feel like feminism has kind of evolved to, you know, believing that all people are equal. And when I tell people I'm a feminist, a lot of times they equate that with man-hater, and I think that's really unfortunate because that alienates men from this movement. And that's unfortunate, I feel like, that people have that perspective.
And just going back to that last question, if you've thought more about it, any troubles you've encountered? I guess you kind of just mentioned one there. Since you're beginning with feminism and activism.
Oh, so any troubles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speak on something.
I think I talked a little bit about that, but one, like, specific one would be, like, my relationship with my mom, who's probably, like, really, she is a person who thinks that feminism equates hating men, basically. Or Yeah, and she's also would have difficulty with the whole pro-choice issue. So I guess it's definitely, and she's, I guess, come around a lot as far as supporting the work that I do, but it's just, it's difficult. It just drains our relationship sometimes, having difficult discussions about, what I think are feminist theories and what she thinks are some radical, weird perspective that I might have on something.
Have you had that feeling with anyone else in your life, outside of the wife, or friends, peers?
Yes, definitely. A lot of, like, definitely peers also. Yeah, totally. It's difficult to have, like, I guess sometimes when you buy into a certain extent, it's difficult even to really maintain friendships sometimes that if that person doesn't really agree or acts in a way that is contradictory to like believing that all people are equal. And that's a pretty broad statement and comes up pretty often just in this society and with all the racism and homophobia and sexist comments that will be further out at any moment.
Well, that's all I have if there's
I think the other
anything.
one that we were going to come back to was it the one that was right after that question? Difficulties.
We talked about how have you changed and like that, the troubles. And just any primary goals from the beginning,
Did I answer that one? Primary
You
goals?
did answer that
I did?
one.
Okay.
But
Okay.
unless if there's anything else you want to say about it,
Oh,
feel
cool.
free. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. That wasn't too long. Is there
Just start again.
Okay.
Any other statements you'd
Okay.
like to make?
So I was talking about the fact that I kind of think I can't really remember not being a feminist. I remember not having the words for it, and I remember not even liking that word feminism. But I was born the fifth of seven children, and I have four older sisters and two younger brothers. And I also was born with a disability, and I think those two kind of scenarios in my life kind of started me with this thinking. And the one I talk about what it was like after my brothers were born, and I saw immediately how they were treated differently. And I was a tomboy for most of my like younger life, and really just wanted to be like my brothers and get the same attention that they got, and get to do all the fun things that they got to do. And that interests me much more than like what like my sisters' roles were developing as like caretakers, and they babysat me a lot. And even though like my sisters are really cool and they played sports and stuff, it's just like really subtle, but something that I was aware of right away. And I guess also my relationship with my father changed a lot after my brothers were born, and that's something that kind of has definitely has been one of the probably most challenging things in my life. And also being born with a disability, and I was born deaf, I obviously have had the experience of being a minority or in my family and stuff, and the way that was dealt with. And just immediately the language of that, it was called hard of hearing for a long time, and I eventually kind of grew to resent that because it kind of was talking about what I was lacking. And so I think those, and I could talk forever about those two parts of my life, but just definitely something that has like focused and shaped my life. So like growing up as a girl and wanting to play sports, which was okay for a long time, but eventually like you just kind of get the subtle message that this isn't where you should be focusing all your time, or you get the not so subtle message from like the neighborhood guys where all of a sudden like they don't call you to play or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You see, you've had those subtle messages anyway.
Yeah.
Throughout your life, since then, not just with sports, but with,
no, with things lots you, of different
quote unquote, things. Shouldn't be involved in.
Yeah. Yeah. Or for me, it's like the one really huge issue is when I talked about this a little bit the other day, but when I shaved my head like a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago now, the first time I cut it off, I didn't even like shave it. It was like this length, which is like an inch or something. I think an inch, and my mom didn't speak to me for like a month. And I was totally like shocked that she would be that upset over something. But that was like a really clear message that I've kind of stepped out of the bounds as far as how a woman should be dressed or how she should look. And dress has always been an issue with me. Like, one of the really great things about my life, and this is kind of interesting because I grew up Catholic and I went to an all-girls school in high school, and that was really also, like, I remember that, like, kind of the seed for feminism was planted there really subtly, and just seeing my friends, these girls who really never spoke up much during high school, like being the school president. And that was really awesome to see girls taking leadership like that. And also some of the nuns were really awesome and like talked about women and like being and having power as women and what that power looks like. And that was awesome, even in the Catholic context, like that was happening. And I say, like, even in a Catholic context, because I know that there's obviously a lot of sexism in the church, so. Any questions about that?
Yeah, I would say, if you can remember your experience in Catholic school and your experience in high school here, you see with the students anyway, a lot different approach to women anyway. I mean, I'm sure there's some
differences. Well, definitely, because, all the guys that I grew up with went to this other Catholic all-boys school. And the difference after, I mean, just the difference that I saw even, like, in one of my brothers when he started that school. And he's very, like, focused on football. And the way that they treated girls was not always an appropriate way.
And that was an all-boys school?
There's an all-boys school. That's a lot of, like, my friends went to the all-boys school. And we went to the all-girls school.
So you guys all knew each other?
Yeah. So we all kind of grew up each other and just put up in high school. So definitely differences. When just, like, kind of an equivalent, I went into Loyola. And there was a couple of young men there who were just, who really got it. You know, they really got what I was trying to talk about. And I could tell they had given thought to it before. So I guess that would be the kind of the Catholic high school comparison. And then, though, in the, as far as going out to high school, sometimes people get it and sometimes they don't. And I don't think it's probably all that different than the Catholic school that I went to or something.
Yes, is there anything else I'm going to ask you about the high school set? The work you do at the high schools, what would you, how do you see, without being specific, of course, how do you see sexism or racism being perpetuated in there, or do you, and what do you think the situation's like?
Well, I think it's probably pretty similar to the rest of society, that there's a lot of good things happening in the high schools. There's I think the guts group, which is girls understanding their strengths, and I think that's a wonderful place for girls to go and become involved in. And of course, like, you know, teenagers pretty much kind of absorb pop culture and then they kind of reflect it back out. So I definitely see a lot of that there. But I don't think that that's probably any. I mean, it's a little more extreme than the teenage years, because it just kind of is, but.
But you'd say proportionally it's pretty similar to
probably.
Society's quality. You mentioned you wanted to also to talk about some other inspirations that you had.
Okay.
You mentioned Buddy and
okay.
Anything else you want?
Definitely. I spent one summer and then a couple months after I graduated in Northern Ireland. And the first time I went there was really to learn more about the conflicts in Northern Ireland and specifically to work with Catholic and Protestant kids in a summer camp and just try to integrate them. And there wasn't much curriculum to that really, just trying to provide a safe place for kids to go to, whether you're Protestant or Catholic. And I met a woman there who totally inspired me as like a feminist, like kind of a feminist, but probably, I don't even know if she has that word in her language. And it was just great because, like, women would get together and women would talk about what was going on. And she was kind of, like, everybody's backbone in that. Just a really strong woman who cared about the women in her community. And, like, and they just do things like go and have tea and just talk or walk around the neighborhood and just like stop in and see each other and make sure everybody's doing okay. It's really amazing, like grassroots feminism, I guess. They probably would never even use that word. And the other reason why she inspired me is that she's a survivor of domestic violence. And as she kind of, she's probably one of the people who inspired me to start working at the YWCA, just because she's the first person who ever had told me her story of being in a violent relationship, a marriage, and having kids, and what that was like in Northern Ireland. So she's definitely a source of inspiration.
Are there any other women here that you met initially with the Y that
yeah.
have been a mentor or something like that?
Yeah. I would say Sally Mullen, who was the previous director here, is definitely a mentor in my life. And yeah, I love spending time with her and like learning from her. I can like go and just pick her brain for like hours because she's done so many amazing things. She's so wise.
Is there anything specific that she helped you with getting started, or?
Yes, definitely. Lots of specific things,
yeah.
But I'm going to think what I want to share. Like, she, has, like, I've, picked her brain a lot about just the Missoula community, because she seems to know it, like, inside and out. And she helped me a lot with, like, getting contacts and, like, simple things like that. But also, she just, like, really believes in people, and she shows that, and she, like, just watching her, kind of direct an agency is kind of, like, leaves you awestruck, because, she, like, really knows, like, how to build people's confidence, and how to, like, check in with everybody, and, create a, like, space where everybody feels safe, regardless of our differences. She's, like, obviously an incredibly empowered woman, and you just get that sense when you're around her that, like, that she, like, knows her power and is not, like, afraid of speaking up or doing what needs to be done. And she also just has, like, a really great outlook on life. I feel like she's been through a lot and has a lot of knowledge, so.
That's all you mentioned, you're trying to talk about the bookkeeping. Go on. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.